In my earliest memories, imagining birds in the sky were carrying my love to my grandma in heaven in the clouds, I saw birds as transcendental beings carrying messages of love between here on earth and heaven above. Since I started more closely watching birds live out their lives, I've come to realize that they have far more important things to do with their lives. But it turns out my thoughts of birds as messengers flying between heaven and earth are fairly universal. It's no coincidence that we depict angels as having bird wings. At my mother-in-law's funeral, the Lutheran pastor mentioned seeing a bald eagle in flight on her drive to the church. She asked for a show of hands of others who had seen an eagle that day, and just about everybody raised a hand. It was appealing to imagine that that proved Helen's soul was smiling down on us, but my birder's brain could not forget that eagles are both common and conspicuous along Lake Superior in December, and that they often fly above county roads and highways in hopes of finding fresh roadkill. But even with birder's brain, it's soothing to see birds flying in a beautiful blue sky or to hear them singing beautiful songs when I'm grieving. One of my favorite cousins died in the 1970s, and his dad, my uncle, died in the 90s. Their funerals, decades apart but both in spring, were held at the same church. And a brown thrasher sang outside the church during both funeral masses. It's unlikely that either my cousin or my uncle had ever heard of a brown thrasher, and I'm sure those birds were focused on attracting a mate, not mourning them. When my aunt died in spring in 2015, I heard a brown thrasher singing outside that very church yet again, reassuring evidence that the habitat around the church hadn't changed in lo those many years. Yet the comforting feeling I had listening to that thrasher soothed my soul in ways far deeper than simple ecological awareness, though I can't explain it in mere words. Over the years, I've heard a great many stories from people who found comfort in seeing a special bird after losing someone dear. If your mother's favorite bird of all is a cardinal, and suddenly a cardinal starts singing from your own backyard the morning after she died, that is a lovely thing, no matter how you look at it. We attach darker symbolism to some birds in the context of death. When my family went to Disney World in November 1988, I stood with my 3-year-old Tommy under a relentless hot sun in what seemed like an eternal line, waiting to ride on Dumbo, and I watched a congregation of 100 or so vultures circling overhead. My brain kept telling me that never in the entire history of Disney World has anyone ever collapsed and died in even the longest lines and been left there for vultures to consume. I could imagine someone dropping dead in the heat, but certainly someone on the Disney staff would rush in and at least cart off the body before it disturbed other visitors. And vultures are rather shy about flying down where so many thousands of people are milling. I knew darned well that they were there simply because all the buildings, parking lots, and paved walks were producing powerful thermal air currents. But even so, just thinking about all the people waiting in the heat under the watchful eye of those vultures left me uneasy. Disney understands the connection between vultures and death. The witch in Disney's original animated Snow White is consumed by a pair of vultures, and Disney's original animated The Jungle Book features vultures singing an amusing song about being friends to the bitter end. Vultures may take advantage of death, but they seldom impose it. Next time, I'll talk about birds who do impose death on living creatures. I'm Laura Erickson, speaking for the birds.